Hi, so this is Ekta and Farine, and welcome to Skincare Anarchy. This is our first episode, and we wanted to just introduce ourselves and also introduce you to why we started this podcast. So, Farine, do you want to take?
Yes, so my name is Farheen. My background is in law. The reason that I started my skincare journey, first of all, it was just as a consumer. And then when I started my Instagram account, it was really purely to do reviews on my experiences with products. And that naturally evolved to more things such as this podcast.
Yeah, same. So I'm Ekta, and my background is in medicine. I am a practicing clinician and also some business background. And I actually started similarly in that, when I was a teenager, I had, the typical acne breakouts and stuff, and I wanted to know more about, just dermatology. So I would go to a dermatologist, and then when I started being on Instagram, I saw that, skincare was this thing that was blowing up. And instead of just following all the pages, I was like, you know what? Why don't I start reviewing the stuff that works for me? And I know for him, you and I are both women of color. So, for us, I think it was just interesting for me because I know that things work differently for my skin. So I wanted to just try products myself and review them. I don't know if you felt the same, but that's where I started.
Yeah, so right. I did feel like products were different on my skin. I also felt like just in the Instagram space, there just wasn't enough information provided on the products when people were reviewing them. Like the reviews that I would read, this was just common across, many different channels. It was like just listing out, like regurgitating just what the company says rather than really taking an analytical view on how the product actually performed on the skin and why it worked and why it didn't work, and just kind of going that extra step. I think a lot of reviews by the a lot of reviews can be quite lazy, and I think the one thing that I think you and I both wanted to do differently is really to provide more information about our personal experiences, even taking like a lot of the more technical aspect out of it.
Absolutely. And I think that's really the crux of it for I think both of us is really understanding like why is this product working for me, and maybe putting it out there like, hey, this worked really well for me because of blah blah blah. And then even the technicality, for me it was like I became interested in the ingredients after a while, right? Like, I mean, it was like, in the beginning, it was kind of just like, okay, well, here are these products. I'm just going to write about why it worked for me, or like, oh, hey, did this for my skin. It made it smoother, my pores are less visible. But then over time, it was like, wow, diving more into the ingredients, because I think on Instagram, a lot of the influencers were going down that road of talking about, these ingredients are included in this product. And especially as those new indie brands popped up, everybody was talking about ingredients. And so, I think it kind of evolved, you know what I mean? Like it
Definitely,
evolved this
definitely.
interest in skincare from just this original, just, vain kind of thing. It's almost like a vanity to more of like a, technical, scientific, wanting to understand what's going on, why is it working, why is it not working kind of thing for me. So I don't know. It's
So
kind of morphed.
you talked a little bit about your skincare journey, how it began as a teenager. And you said it was because you had acne and you would go to the dermatologist. So talk a little bit more about like your early experiences with skincare. What did you use? What was your experience at the dermatologist? And really before I think we all got into the Instagram culture of skincare, what did you use?
So that's a great question. And I think we can all so basically let me just begin by saying I'm a millennial. So I was born in 86, and at that time, from what I know, we not, we didn't have this whole skincare industry to fall into. And so going to the dermatologist was kind of this like, first thought thing that came to my mind as a kid. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm breaking out. So let's just go to the dermatologist. So the first thing that happened was I went in, the doctor did the consultation. She was like, yeah, you're having breakouts because you're hitting puberty and all this stuff. But then, the kind of breakouts I was having were like more like cystic acne versus I think, the other kinds with the whitehead formation and stuff. So she put me on antibiotics to begin. So I was on like doxycycline. I was taking all of these, just typical antibiotics. I remember it being this huge pink pill. And I was just like, once a day, that's what I did. And then she didn't really go into, it was surprising because she didn't go into any kind of cleansers or moisturizers or anything. She was just like, trying to treat this as an actual medical condition and give me antibiotics because that was the main problem I was having was this acne. So from there, I just kept on taking the medications, and I know that at one point the idea of starting Accutane was discussed. And I remember when she was, kind of giving me the background of Accutane and going into all these adverse effects. A part of me was just like, no, I don't want this. I don't want to have to come in for a pregnancy test every month. I don't want to have to worry about all these side effects that are going to happen. So I think from that point, it was almost like my journey with this acne hit this plateau. And I had to figure out, you know what I mean? Like, what can I do now in addition to taking these antibiotics that will actually help my skin care? Not just the acne, but the scarring, right? Like, we deal with scarring with all the acne breakouts. So,
You know, I
that's
think it's
really it.
interesting that you chose the medical route, like going to a doctor as a first step. And I think, and you know, I did the same, but I think it's because of our families and the background that we come from. Because your dad's a doctor, right? And so, my mom was a is a doctor still, and I think, we're both Indian or come from the South Asian background, and I think there's typically a divergence. You have a group of people who kind of pursue the more quote unquote Western medicine route in terms of treating conditions, including things like acne and other skin conditions. And then there's other people who more or less pursue like the homeopathic or the I guess the Ayurvedic route or the other route where they try things at home that may potentially help. And I think I was the same. I had acne when I was a kid, and I remember going to the dermatologist. I remember taking the antibiotics and topically applying various prescription medication to help with the acne as well as the scarring. But I don't think ever in my mind did I think, oh, like I let me go to my kitchen cabinet and see if turmeric will help. Like that was, and that wasn't even really encouraged in our household either, even though my mom, she had a medical training in India, but also was trained medically here in the US. That was something you do for fun to help supplement, but that was never the primary thing that you go to treat a condition.
Exactly. And I think that's such a that's like the fundamental is that, skin was always treated like this, in medical terms we say everything is a pathology, a pathological condition. So it was almost like, if you had problems with your skin, our parents were more, likely to say, let's go to a doctor versus let me put, just this cumin powder ground up with turmeric and all these ingredients on your face, even though we come from the culture of Ayurveda, you know what I mean? Like it was, it's like, I think, for me at least, I know growing up, like we're both of our backgrounds are similar, but for me growing up, yes, that was there, the Ayurvedic aspect of things, but it was never like a go-to for anything really, even like we talk about, putting turmeric on our skin. That's a great example because right now I think everybody wants to put turmeric on their skin. Like, everybody wants to do that. But it's like that wasn't even, turmeric in itself. It was more considered a rural side of India kind of thing to use these Ayurvedic medications, I think. And being, from a family that was very much involved in the medical profession, I think maybe both of us, our families were more like, well, no, this is a medical condition and we need to seek treatment properly for it rather than just go down that rural road of just, what our ancestors did and whatnot. And I find that to be very interesting because now it's like Ayurveda has almost looked at this holy grail treatment option for skincare. And I'm just, sometimes I'm baffled because it's like the people who it comes from, we weren't even, we didn't even go there as our first choice,
And it was vilified for the longest time, just generally under British rule. I think I read something a couple of weeks ago that said that British, when they ruled India, they actually made it illegal to practice Ayurveda and really suppressed its practice. And now, it's like the quote unquote being discovered, aka colonized for like a second time. Another a topic for another episode for sure. But kind of coming back to it, I don't even think people in my extended family really even did that. Even ones like my mom's sisters who, were not doctors, they definitely went the medical route because I think it was just accessible. It was reliable to treat a medical condition. Like you've seen results. Like I took antibiotics, my skin cleared up. I didn't have to worry about, the I guess the inconsistency with the results that you'd get with some of these other alternative practices.
Exactly. And I know that like later on my mother brought up, for example, like neem, the neem tree, and it's like its use in when she was a kid, because she grew up in rural India, so like even going back to like our mothers and our grandmothers, their skin practices, like my mom would tell me that, growing up in rural India, she was using these like neem tree, and there's this specific type of clay, she said. I don't know the exact name, but it was like they would use that. But it's like almost as if she had already tried these things, and it was a preference for her for me to go to a doctor versus use these things that she had already used as a child, for her skin health and for her skin treating her acne scarring or her acne breakouts and scarring. And so, it's almost like it was the methods of Ayurveda were already tried and tested by, my parents and previous generations, and it wasn't the preferred method. It was almost like, no, let's just move on from that because it's not going to give us everything we need. You're not going to get the benefits that we're looking for here. At that, it's like they almost recognized that there was limitation to that type of treatment,
Exactly. Yeah, I think so too. I do remember, my mom recommending things like, oh, a yogurt mask or doing like an egg mask for the face, but it was never like, hey, this is treatment for your condition. It was more like, hey, do this, it'll make your skin feel nice. Rather than a treatment. So what happened after? So like after your teenage years, did you continue using like antibiotics or was there a point where you stopped and then started exploring skincare?
So you know what? That's so interesting because, when I went to the dermatologist originally, I was told when you turn 18, everything's going to start subsiding and you're going to notice that you're not going to have these breakouts anymore. Your skin's going to be a lot more basically calm down. And unfortunately for me, that was not the case. So even going into my 20s, I was still experiencing breakouts, still experiencing that hormonal cycle of, just skin concerns all around. And I think that's really when I started exploring the option of, let me just think, let me look into moisturizers and cleansers and, all these different things that are out there right now. And I think that's when, I started, for example, I know the first brands I went to was like Neutrogena, because like all of the, there was so much hype around Neutrogena and there was so much stuff about, for example, Proactiv was big at the time as well. So I tried those things because I did stop taking the antibiotics. After a while, it was like I didn't want to keep putting that in my body, and when you reach that age, you start understanding like the side effects and all that good stuff. So it's like I did not want to keep putting that in my body, and so I was like, let me try these other things like Proactiv, Neutrogena, all the cleansers that were available, and that was really the beginning of the over-the-counter, acne treatments or skincare treatments that I kind of dived into. And from there, I think it's just been this like a snowball effect of just, you know, one thing after another, and just trying to figure out, you know, all the different, you know, all the different things that are there and what they do for your skin. But what about you? What did you end up doing?
So I think I had a very similar route. When I was a teenager, I did have acne breakouts. We went to the dermatologist. It was never like my skin never pitted, but I did have, you know, kind of a little, I would say on the mild end of maybe cystic acne and then just kind of regular acne for a while. I would say in my early 20s, it was there, although it got a little bit better. And I did try proactive. I did try the over-the-counter things. I know very early on in my skincare journey, I would say even in my early 20s, I did get into Asian skincare. So I would use products from Japan and China, actually. So China had a lot of good skincare products at that time. You know, in the 2000s, that was accessible to me. You know, yes, it would take like 3 weeks to get to me, but the products were really nicely formulated. It calmed my skin. I felt like it helped so much with any condition that I was having. So I really had early success with some of these products. For like deep scarring, I do remember that, you know, I did use like hydroquinone creams to treat the hyperpigmentation. Just fade creams, because like I scar really, really badly. Like even if I get a little scratch, I'll scar. So that's just kind of part of having darker skin. So it was like conjunction of kind of Western like treatment creams and these other products that I was using. And then of course, like by natural progression, you know, you just d discover more Korean skincare. I was using that, I would say, like late 2000s, like 2008, 2009 is when I really got into Korean skincare. And then just Korean skincare exploded, I would say, in the last 5 years or so. But it's, you know, it's been around. I mean, people act like they discovered it, but it's been around for such a long time. And it's actually a shame. Like, in my experience, I felt like Asian, Japanese, Chinese, Korean skincare were decades ahead of what you could find in American drugstores, which is really interesting and at a cheaper price too.
So what made you go that route, because we're so close in age, right? So I always find it so interesting when you say that, because what really attracted you in the beginning to like Asian skincare? Like, what did you see something or read about something?
So interestingly enough, like my mom loves Shiseido. So that was like my first foray into Japanese skincare. And I remember using some of their products, and it was really nice formulas. So, and it's more or less like luxury in the department store. And you know, when you're in college, you just don't want to spend the money. So I started exploring other Japanese skincare, and you could find so much more skincare like at half the price or a quarter of the price. It just had to come from an overseas manufacturer. So that's kind of how I got into it. I just started ordering stuff online on Amazon, on various various websites, and yeah, just went from there.
Just playing around kind of
Yeah,
thing.
just playing around.
So, like, did you end up doing, like, you know, I know that it's so big right now, and I don't know if this has been, you mentioned that, you know, that K-beauty has kind of blown up in the last 5 years, but I'm wondering, compared to back then and now, with all these like different steps, did you have all those different steps that you were also doing, or was it just kind of like a moisturizer and, you know, like a cleanser, or like what was your routine like?
I always had a great cleanser, but it was
Mm-hmm.
always a one step like foam cleanser that
Yeah.
took every, I mean, it was stripping, but it removed literally every ounce of makeup, everything off my skin. I had a toner, some kind of hydrating toner, and a moisturizer. And then like I said, I supplemented with some type of prescription cream every now and then to treat my acne,
Yeah.
and the scarring. But it was very simple. It wasn't until, you know, I would say more recently that my routine really ballooned into a 7, 8, 9 step routine.
Yeah. I think it's, and you know, that's why I ask, because I never thought I would get to this point of
Yes.
like 9 different products for a
Yes.
routine. And it's just so interesting because I had no idea. I think you're very ahead of your times with discovering K-beauty and just more options, because for me it was literally about cleansing my skin. I remember feeling like if I kept it really clean and I kept it oil free, it would, really kind of helped me a lot in terms of, just obviously the acne breakouts, but also this excessive sebum production that I was having. But, there was not a lot of knowledge. I remember, at the time not understanding how oil production works or anything like that. You know what I mean? So it was like I was cleansing and stripping my skin, but for me, the idea of a moisturizer was kind of like, eh. Like I'll have it here and there because I had oily skin and I didn't want to keep putting, more moisture on there, because I thought I had this classic misconception of, well, if I keep adding it on, it's going to keep on making it more oily. And it was like, later on that I discovered that this is a completely false way of thinking. Skin health is a real thing, and you have to, preserve those skin moisture that you have. So for me, it was so different. I think that you definitely had a more systematic approach to your skin health and your skincare concerns. But I mean, even, what's crazy is that in my high school, I don't know what it was like for you, but in my high school, girls were doing the same thing. You know what I mean? They were like cleansing their face, washing their face, and that was kind of it.
That was
They
it.
would, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what I did until my early 20s. And I mean, I've always enjoyed using a ton of products. I mean, that was a problem for me, even before I got into skincare, really. So I didn't have any issues like piling on random crap on my face. I remember like my mom just like relentlessly like teasing me about using like snail cream. She was like, just so like she could not wrap her head around something like that. But I was like, oh my God, yes, give it to me. And I'll slap whatever if it had like lotion or cream on it, I'll put it on my face. So, yeah, I mean, I think our generation of parents just had a different approach to skincare. Like, I think it was only very recently that my mom even started regularly using a moisturizer. Like, that was just not something even that they did regularly. So it was that, I think, culture of wasn't passed down to us in the same way.
Like good skin hygiene kind of thing. Like, yeah. And also, like, I think, what, okay, so for me, I don't know if you had this experience. For me, I noticed that once I really got into skincare, my skin type changed.
Oh,
So, yeah,
yeah.
you know what I mean? So, okay, so I was super oily, and then I went into combination skin, and even had like I think a year or two of just dry skin. You know what I mean? Going back to combination. So I found that to be very interesting looking back on that, because I'm so curious, and I mean, this might be a topic for another, another one of our things, but like I really am curious how that happens, because how do you just go from one skin type to another,
Yeah.
like was
I
it the
think
products or what?
so for me, the rest of my body is like dry. Like I cannot step out of the shower and not apply moisturizer. So, but I also lived in a very humid climate for most of my life, up until I moved here, which is more inland. Like this is the furthest inland I've ever lived for this period of time. And I think when I moved from Houston to Dallas, my skin type changed. It became more combination. And my body's skin became more dry. And my facial skin, I felt like also became prone to dryness. So if I didn't moisturize, it would be tight. And if I didn't like take good care of like you use a nice hydrating toner and layer on the skincare that it would become irritated. Like I'd be more prone to acne. I'd be more prone to texture and random things happening if I don't follow my skincare routine. So I think that for me, the weather really affects my skin, and I feel like age also really affected my skin. Like once I hit 30, it was like, okay, my skin just naturally became less acne prone, and I felt like certain contours of my face just took it just changed a little bit. So like underneath my eyes changed a little bit. I started using more eye cream to plump up that area. And I felt like my skin would get dry or like textured in different places that it didn't happen before. What about you?
No, I mean, I was just thinking about that because I think this concept of age is so important, and I honestly hadn't thought about it till you just now brought it up, because you're right. When you go from your teens to your 20s, there's a change, and there was a change for me, sure, because I did not notice that much oiliness anymore. And I always thought that maybe it's because of the acne or what, but to be honest, I think it was, for me, it wasn't climates, because I didn't change my locale. So I was in Ohio, you know what I mean? And I like it was the same environment. It was the same, I went to college in the same state. So it wasn't really that. I think for me it was like definitely age, because in my 20s I had this like completely, like a reduction of how much oil my skin was really producing on a daily level. And I've never been somebody who wears makeup. Like I wear makeup, but it's not like regular by any means. So I didn't have all these external factors that were really coming into play in terms of, what is it that's making my skin change. But I definitely noticed it changed into my 20s. And then now in my 30s, it has definitely changed as well. And the dryness aspect is something that I think was the most shocking to me, because as somebody who grew up with oily skin, I couldn't have ever thought, I never thought I'd have dry skin. You know what I mean? Like I never in a million years imagined. So, seeing that change and seeing like that, yeah, it was like the contour of the face, like certain areas are patchy, or like, you're not having the same kind of like uniformity anymore, and your overall just the, what's being produced on your skin. That is so, it's weird. It's a weird thing, and it's something that I think has even perpetuated the idea diving into over-the-counter skin treatments and all these products that we use now, because the skin concerns are so like versatile. Like one part of my face needs this and the other part needs this, and it's like you need like five different products for this stuff. So
This is probably a controversial opinion, and I know dermatologists just generally advocate for simple skincare. And I know you have spoken to several dermatologists yourself, and you're a doctor. So what is your opinion on this? Because I feel like what I put in my face definitely affects how it looks. So if I stop using skincare and just use a plain moisturizer and sunscreen, it neg like it looks dull. I'm prone to texture. There all these other things happen, but I feel like most dermatologists generally tell you to leave your face alone and just stick to the basics.
I think that's, yeah. And you know what? After speaking to them, see, I have such a split opinion, I feel like, at this point with skin, in terms of skin health versus, how you want your skin to look. Because there's one aspect that dermatologists focus on, and I think that is skin health. And if you think about it, you don't need much to maintain good skin health, right? That's the consensus I keep getting from like whoever I've spoken to in the derm field, is that really what you want to do is preserve that moisture. You want to make sure that you're protecting it with sunscreen. You know what I mean? Those kind of things. And those are the things they really kind of focus in on, because again, they're coming from this medical perspective of like, make sure that you're not predisposing yourself to something like melanoma or any kind of skin pathology, versus the skincare industry, which I think is very interesting, because I don't think it's fueled by the same concerns. I think the skincare industry is being fueled by concerns that consumers have about, like you said, dull skin, or removing hyperpigmentation, or just improving the quality of how your skin looks on a day-to-day basis. And that's why we have all these products. I personally, my opinion, I'm not against skincare. I think that everything, if it's really working for you, use it. Like, I don't know if I subscribe to the minimalist approach for skincare either, to be honest. Like, I don't think it's enough to just put moisturizer on and just put sunscreen on, because you're right, my skin as well, it starts looking dull. You can def especially now that we know more about AHAs and BHAs and all these like exfoliants, we can start seeing the difference of, dead skin cells start you know, adding up on your skin, and you start seeing that your skin is not as radiant, it's not glowing, and that's directly because you're not causing the sloughing off of this dead, you know what I mean, like this layer of cells. So if you were just to do moisturizer, that's, you're taking that entire step out of your routine. And so the, in terms of just, you know, looks and the way that your skin looks, you know, you're going to be disappointed a little bit. So I think there's a big difference. I think that's the difference, is skin health versus like almost like skin vanity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would definitely make sense. Because, you know, I guess arguably from a dermatologist perspective, you forcing that skin shedding could potentially expose your skin to more issues, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But like at the same time, dermatologists also want to promote a natural, healthy skin turnover. You know what I mean? Skin, like the cell turnover, because that's just how biology works. That's our physiology. We want it to constantly be turning over. And of course, like, you know, if you're putting acids on your face and you're putting, you know, these things that are pretty much taking off that dead layer, you're making it just more sensitive to whatever it comes in contact with, because it's a brand new layer of skin. Yeah, I mean, from that perspective, I can see them being like, well, you know what, you don't want that so much because you want to protect your skin. And in a way, these dead skin cells that pile up are protective to our, you know, deeper layers. So it's like, I do understand that. But at the same time, I don't think, like, I mean, again, I'm not a dermatologist, but I think from a medical perspective, I would say that, you know, how much damage are you really doing if you're still using sunscreen, if you're still, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like covering your bases and like, you know, and again, going back to skin vanity versus skin health, like if you can balance the two, I don't see the harm in using skincare products plus the, you know what I mean? The products that are recommended by dermatologists. I don't see the harm in that. I think that there should be a balance. It's like, you know, it's a form of beauty. I think that there's a lot of merit in that. In that, you know, if you have good skin, you don't need to wear as much makeup, which can also be argued, right, from like a medical perspective, because if you keep putting makeup on your face, that's also detrimental for your skin. You're clogging your pores, you're, you know what I mean? You have these chemicals on your face all day. So yeah, I mean, you can argue this from so many different points of view, but it's almost like, you know, I think the decision really comes down to, what are your skin concerns and are you exacerbating them or helping them with what your routine is, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I know at the beginning of our, the first episode here, we talked about the purpose for our podcast. What do you want to do with the podcast?
Yeah. So honestly, you know, I want this to be a really open space where we can talk about just what's going on with skincare and the skincare industry. What are all the products that are coming out? Because, you know, there's this really gray area in this field that no one really wants to talk about. It's either people have these, like, you know, these opinions that are very polarized. So I want our podcast to kind of bring in, like, I would love for us to have dermatologists on. You know what I mean? Bring that perspective in, but then also have like an esthetician on here or somebody who's approaching skin health from a different place, you know, our own experiences and talking about the business of skin. You know, I want to really dive into this like multi-dollar industry, you know what I mean? That just keeps on growing. It keeps on expanding and just discover it. That's really what I hope that we can do here and just bring some light to things that are not really talked about.
Yes, I agree. I think it's important for us to create a space in the industry for deeper discussions and more critical thinking. And sometimes it doesn't always happen in an Instagram post. I think, you know, I feel like Instagram moves a million miles a minute, and it can be a good or a bad thing. It's good because, you know, we learn about releases really quickly, and you know, you learn about all these different brands and what works, what doesn't work, and generally can get an idea of all these products out there. And for content creators like us, you know, that's really important because we want to be knowledgeable about everything new that's happening in skincare. But I think at the same time, it really is destructive in that it does not create enough space to have deeper discussions about the issues in skincare, on the business side, on the medical side, on just kind of the social aspect side of skincare, all the different issues that have popped up stemming out of the Black Lives Matter movement and even before that that existed. And I feel like those discussions aren't happening because everything moves a million miles a minute. So, yeah, so I hope that we can slow things down a little bit and at least give people, I feel like, the tools and the context to understand the different things, different issues in skincare, even if issues meaning, topics as well as things that we absolutely need to try to do better in.
I agree. I think that's very good because I think a lot of I don't know about you, but a lot of messages I get on Instagram are like, "Hey, can you help me figure out what product I should use? Can you help me figure out a skincare routine? Can you help me, I think there's a lot of confusion right now, you know what I mean, in the public about what is skincare? Really, like what is it, you
What is
know?"
skincare? Yeah. And it's intimidating. It can be really intimidating because say you're new, say you're very early on in your skincare journey and you log on to Instagram, it's just like product after product after product. It can be really overwhelming. It can be really hard to contextualize, and figure out what the heck is even happening, because if you are just a regular consumer, you don't understand that a lot of us get a ton of product in PR, so we're just pushing out, product after product. But on top of that, it's also confusing to know exactly what to use because, you and I, we test out a lot of products. So typically there is like 8 to 10 products in our regular rotation, but for a regular person that is not doing that, I mean, I think a simple routine, you can accomplish so much even with a 3 to 4 product routine. But just kind of breaking that down and making it, I feel like, more accessible to people is also going to be really important.
I agree. I agree. And I think it's more, and just adding to it. A lot of the frustration and the anxiety of trying to figure out your skincare routine, I'm hoping, like you said, slow things down. You know what I mean? Really slow things down because when you're seeing all of these products pop up on Instagram, like there's 15 different new launches coming up, no one knows what they want to buy or what they need to buy. So yeah, I think that by us talking about these different topics, one by one, hopefully we can shed some light on like why you need what you need, and then people can start catering things to their own skin type, and you know what I mean, like figure out what is best for them rather than just saying, this 10-step routine, let me just copy paste this
Yes,
into my life.
exactly. Yes, copying and pasting, I feel like, is the worst thing you can do when it comes to skincare. It will destroy your wallet and probably destroy your skin. I think we've each spent thousands of dollars going down this.
Gosh, my budget has, I have no budget, I feel like, because I never stick to it.
Yes, it is a problem. It is definitely a problem. And I think another hope that I have for the podcast is really to shed light on the I feel like, since we're both women of color, we're come from a South Asian background, is really shed light on the ways that things in our culture are maybe being appropriated, and shed light on how potentially, even though maybe we don't belong to another culture that's also being appropriated, maybe at least shed light on that issue so we can all just be smarter consumers and make a reasoned decision on whether we want to support a brand, even if they have the most fantastic products, if their ethics aren't there, or if they are constantly doing things that take advantage of a group. I think that's a worthy thing to make consumers aware of, because, I think in this day and age, a product can work, but I think we are also considering business ethics and how businesses generally are functioning now to make a decision on our purchases.
Exactly. And especially because that's such a great point because right now, people are really following these movements where, it's like Blackout Tuesday or it's like certain days where like, African American consumers might not be buying at all, so when you do buy, you know, that's just an example. Like, people are just, I think, being more mindful of where they spend their money and who they give money to. And so, in, you know, like, I know that for a long time on your Instagram stories, you were really coming hard with these, like, facts about companies and, you know what I mean? What's, who's doing what and where's their money going and what's really going. And I love that, because I think if we, I would love to see that in our podcast, because people need to know what a company stands for. You cannot just assume, because these people are not, this is no longer just a, it's not medicine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have a choice at this point. Yes, you know, there's 15 different companies making the same product. So why don't you, like you said, go into the ethics, go into the business, go into all of these different aspects that, you know, will determine where and who you want to give your money to. Because getting that information, I think, is some of the hardest stuff to obtain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because nobody wants to do that. It takes hours and it takes time for us to dive into that much.
And you honestly just need to know where to look. And if you're not in that industry, you just don't, you wouldn't think to look there. So, you know, in the age of information, it's difficult to find the relevant information. So hopefully, you know, between the two of us, we can bring the information to light so that consumers can make a good decision.
Yeah, and I also want to just mention, because this is our first episode, so I want to mention that, you know, once we publish this, if anybody has questions, I want to really entertain, like, if people come with questions, maybe we can make, like, an episode each for that question, because I feel like a lot of times on Instagram, people, like, you know, rapid fire answer questions, but that's just not, I don't think that's doing anything. I think if someone has a proper question, we should devote a podcast session to that, you know what I mean? And, so yeah, if someone's got, you know, any of you listeners have any questions for us, please let us know, because this really is a place where we're trying to break down the stuff that no one understands about the industry.
And I think that's a great segue into asking our listeners to follow our Instagram page, Skincare Anarchy, and we'll put up a post about each one of our episodes and leave the comments section open for discussion and, you know, potentially have lives, follow-up lives on our Instagram, so we can be more, I guess, interactive with the audience and have, hopefully, extend the conversation further and have more conversations about the issues as they come up.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think this was awesome, Farheen. We did a great job for our first episode.
We're patting ourselves on the back.
Yeah, we are congratulating ourselves. But no, this was so much fun. I just want to say this was so much fun. So
yes, definitely. I think so too. I'm really excited for where this is going to go. And I'm just excited to have, like, deeper conversations, because I think it's really needed right now. And I think we really need to add our voice to the mix and hopefully get some good feedback.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, let's see what happens. But we'll be, you know, we're going to try to set up a schedule. We're trying to be more, because we're going to be consistent with this and uploading our episodes. So all of you out there listening, let us know, like Farheen mentioned on our Instagram. And, you know, just let us know what you want to talk about. And we're going to have some great discussions coming up, no matter what, for you guys. So stay tuned.
Yep, definitely. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you guys next time.
Talk to you soon. Bye. Bye.